My son is doomed, right?
Why do you say that?
Come on. This is the part when I'm supposed to tell you how terrible my father was and the terrible things he did to me and how he ruined my life. But I'll tell you something. I was proud to be Johnny Soprano's kid. When he beat the shit out of that guy, I went to the class. I told him how tough my father was.
Do you think that's how your son feels about you?
Yeah, probably. And I'm glad. I'm glad if he's proud of me. But that's the bind I'm in, because I don't want him to be like me.
Ooh, powerful stuff, ladies and gents. Because nature versus nurture, Sopranos, family versus family. Welcome to Cut to Black, a Sopranos sit-down. We are here in the midst of season one, about past that halfway point. I am Jim Scampoli.
I'm Jacob Burrows, and I'm excited to be here again talking about The Sopranos. And I have to note that it has been a verifiable love fest these past weeks, where we've literally had almost nothing negative to say. And I'll go out on a limb. I'm not saying this is a bad episode, but I got some stuff to say, and I'm itching to hear what you think about the stuff that I'm going to say with my mouth, Jim.
I'm kind of right in line with you. We should say right here at the top that we will be discussing spoilers up through season one, episode 7 of The Sopranos, a 20-year-old show. But we will not be discussing any spoilers past episode 7. So have no fear if you're a little 7 years old, like Jacob, my friend Jacob Burrows here. That's your disclaimer. But
yes,
now
I like that. We should say that every time. I'm like, yes, we are. We'll discuss this year, the show from 20 years ago. So please relax, everyone. It's Down Neck is the name of the episode, which I think is a reference to the neighborhood that he grew up in, Tony. And do you want to talk generally or get into the specifics?
Let's,
maybe a bit of general talk.
Yeah, let's talk a little general at first too, because obviously I've seen every episode of The Sopranos, and I've seen especially season one multiple times. And I do remember liking this episode because I like the flashbacks. I mean, who could not like a little Tony Soprano, just a little innocent little boy, you know, out in the world in the late 60s? But yes, rewatching it now with more of a critical eye, this episode definitely stands out. And I was kind of looking into it a little bit. This person that directed the episode, this is the only episode of The Sopranos they directed. And it does feel, I'm blaming it all on the director, personally. It feels like it's all in direction, because especially they do this, even though this is more editing, but I feel like this is per the director, the way they splice in the weird flashback, like not the main storyline flashbacks, but the flashbacks to the college episode. Mm-hmm. You know the scene I'm talking about where like Tony's talking and it's like,
I skipped back in the video because I thought it was in the show, but I also thought maybe I'd like touched the thing and made it jump to some other part. I don't have a lot of specific notes, but that's my thing of, I wrote, I'm not sure I love this episode. It feels weird, a bit disjointed, probably started in the quick cut to Meadow asking, are you in the mafia? Because it feels like it's not a, everything they're doing that I don't really love is all kind of intentional. So I'm not going to say it's like bad editing, but it doesn't jive with what I've learned The Sopranos to be. And I think you're right that it's kind of like the editor doesn't do that without someone telling them to, you know, because you get fired. That's such a weird thing to do. So I agree. It's kind of got something else going on in this episode, and not necessarily bad, but it caught me off guard, and that kind of took me out of it.
Yeah, and one of the other big things I noticed, and I'm part of this can be on the actress, but Lorraine Bracco, who plays Dr. Melfi, I'm going to put this on the director as well. I feel like she was given strange direction in her scenes, because I don't know if you noticed this. She's very giggly and smiley in a lot of these therapy scenes in this episode. And it feels very out of character for what we know of her in the 6 previous episodes.
He's gotten her to laugh 2 times, and each time it felt like an achievement of his, kind of. And now, yeah, as you said, it's kind of like Giggle Town over here. when you're talking about his past and some of the most formative, like he's opening up more than before, and she lets go of this sort of persona that she usually has. So, and it's also, as you, like, even though it started with the cut to Meadow going in and out of the flashbacks, I mean, just having the flashbacks is weird. We can't blame that on the director, but
True.
For me, it's weird. I don't know if that comes back, but it, like, we have therapy and we have going into flashbacks of like the 60s, and it feels like a Woody Allen movie at times because that's what he does constantly.
Well, the thing I will blame on the director, even though I think you're right, it's not fully on the director, just the way the transitions are handled feel sloppy. Like, I don't mind, like, I like the moment when Tony takes his Prozac and then, like, the White Rabbit song plays, but then the weird, like, fade to white and freeze frame type stuff. Although, there's an infamous bizarre choice later in The Sopranos. It might not even be till the last season. So put a little footnote here. There's a bizarre freeze frame cut to a new scene. You know, we'll get there in a year or so.
Okay.
But but yeah, some of the like the weird freeze frame fade to white, like hanging on the shot before going into it. It takes me out of it a lot because everything else is so masterful that this episode is a reminder. This show is in its first season and it has no, like, they're still figuring it out, and it doesn't have the weight of this is The Sopranos. Like, if you go back in the context of when the show came out, this is, like, the biggest reminder so far of, oh, yeah, this is a first season of a show. They're probably not getting as much money as they got later on, and it doesn't have that same, it's, you know, it's like Game of Thrones in season one before it became a thing, even though it's still really well done because it has what an amazing plethora of stories to pull from. But you know what I mean?
Yes. And even like consider this, like we might blame the director, but this director couldn't possibly have seen a single episode of The Sopranos because it's season one.
Very true.
They don't exist yet, the episodes. That's not how television works, that you go out and shoot episode one, okay, and then you go out and shoot episode two. Actually, maybe it does. But either way, she probably didn't see, she didn't know the style. Anyone coming into it season two would know, no, we don't cut to that sort of thing. But again, I to be fair, it's not also as you said, the style didn't exist. They're still finding their legs, and the legs they were finding in like the college trip episode, those were obviously the real legs, the good legs, and these are kind of like sea legs or whatever. But as you said, they're still kind of staggering around there, finding them.
Yes, yeah, and I don't mean to harp on this director, but I will. Her name's Lorraine Senna, and looking at like what she did before this, it is a lot of just standard TV, like especially like late 80s, early 90s TV, like Lois and Clark, Northern Exposure, although I believe David Chase worked on that, an episode of Babylon 5, Picket Fences, whatever that is, Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman, Knott's Landing. So, I mean, I'm not using that to knock this person, but it's clear, I think with this episode, you can see more what people thought of as like traditional TV before we started getting into this more cinematic, like it's not TV, it's HBO. So it's a weird clash, I feel, because I still think a lot of the content is there. And not to say that she completely whiffed it. It's just there's little things that stick out that we haven't really seen in the other episodes.
Yes, and I was just scrolling through some of the other directors for season one, and it's interesting that it's all different directors, almost. I think so, yeah. Like, each episode has a different director. But this is the only episode so far that sticks out and makes me think, like, who directed this? And I was kind of checking out the other ones. And yeah, I mean, to be fair, like, looking at her list, it's like, oh, this is all kind of standard TV.
Sure.
But that's kind of all there was to do. But she doesn't return to do any more episodes, and let's leave it at that, I guess, and get into the specifics.
And like you said, it's not all her. It is that, you know, the whole creative team, I imagine, you're still, like we've been saying, they're still figuring out the show, even though they clearly have a great grasp on it from what we've seen. But even the college episode is, in a way, them testing things and trying to figure out, you know, what this show's going to fully be once they get their full bearings. So, but yeah, this just had a lot of moments that made it stand out. And I don't know if we're going to eventually start doing the thing where we rank the episodes, but it does seem like this would be kind of towards the bottom there.
Yeah, so far at least, because, I mean, although, yeah, let's be clear, there's good moments and stuff in here, but it stuck out to me in another way as well, which is that it's very incredibly focused. There's just one storyline in this. Yeah. Like, we got the flashbacks. It's kind of a separate thing, but it's all on one story of his kid, his son, and how he's doing, and that makes him think about his past. And usually we'll have, you know, Silvio going off doing a fun adventure or something. And here it's kind of like, because they're not hitting all the moments and because it feels kind of weird at times, it gives the whole episode, I don't know, it's the slowest almost episode. Like, I was checking what time it was several times. With that said, though, the actual flashbacks themselves, I really like. It just felt weird that they were there. Like, but when we were in them, it looks really cool, and it makes sense to give this insight into his past. And it's so weird to see his mother and Uncle Junior. Uncle Junior, they got a great actor for. He looks exactly like him, and him playing catch and everything. And we get a lot of background and stuff that I think will be useful moving forward as well.
Yeah, I agree. I completely agree. It's like the whole, even like a bad episode of Breaking Bad, for example, is still a great episode of TV. And I feel like that still applies here. But yeah, there's definitely some criticisms. And I do agree that maybe breaking it up with Christopher doing crazy stuff or something would have helped a little bit. There's a little bit too much. I love the therapy scenes in Sopranos, but you can't lean on it too much. And this episode tends to lean on it quite a bit. And it starts to hammer the point home a little too hard. I mean, they might do that later on too, but I think this episode, it starts to stick out a bit. And again, partially because Melfi feels not Melfi in a lot of these scenes.
Yeah. I mean, they have a therapy scene and then a flashback kind of caused by the therapy scene. And then you have a therapy scene with the kid, and then you have a therapy scene again, and so on. And Caesar says in the chat that flashbacks are tricky. They're a tricky thing to insert into movies. I think Tarantino even has trouble with it sometimes, but it's something he uses constantly. And I agree. I actually have a bias as well that I should mention. I generally advise against flashbacks. It's a thing I don't really like. That's kind of more in books, to be honest. But generally speaking, I don't like it. And it's almost like it shows how great Breaking Bad is, that they can do flashbacks and flash forwards and whatever. And I'm all on board with it all the time. But it's a tricky thing to get right from the get-go. And here they also have other stuff like, yeah, let's freeze the frame and fade to white. And it kind of does weird things to the pace of a show that we're just starting to get to know here in the first season.
I would have to throw my hat in the ring. I love me a good flashback. I love it.
Yeah, I think we've talked about this before. But I like it when they do it excellently, and they didn't do it that excellently here.
Yeah.
That said, I still like the flashback. So, you know, I'm a walking contradiction. Where's my therapist?
Yeah,
you know?
I like the flashbacks here. I think it's a little clumsy the way we get to them in some cases, not every single time, but and a lot of times it feels a little clumsy, but I'm like I said, I'm just such a sucker. I enjoy seeing, you know, the big badass Tony Soprano is just kind of a little dumb kid, very much in the same vein as AJ Soprano.
Yes.
One quick aside, like back to Melfi being weird. There's a scene, I forget exactly what he says, but it's something when he mentions like, I'm just glad he wasn't a fag or something like that. He has some like off comment.
Yeah.
And then it cuts to Melfi and she's smiling. Like Like she like really enjoyed it. And then she's like, tell me about your relationship with your dad. I mean, I assume that's not what the actual reaction was. But again, I'm just trying to point out some of these weird things that it almost felt like it was a dream for a moment. Like, are we back in a Tony dream where she's loving everything he says?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I also thought that.
Yeah.
But there were also great lines, like when she says, I don't know, like, that's a tricky question. He has a specific question, and he's like, what do you want, a raise or something? Like, you're here to solve my problems in my brain. Come on, let's go here. Should I press him harder or easy? And she's like, that's difficult to say. And he's like, what, do you want a raise to figure this out? But we start out with AJ, speaking of dumb kids, stealing the communion wine and getting drunk before gym class or whatever it is. Yep. I mean, I guess this is a Catholic school he goes to. So the wine's just there tempting you every day. Is this, I mean, you grew up kind of half Catholic, right? Did you ever steal the communion wine, Jim?
I never got to steal the communion wine. I did grow up Catholic, although I didn't go to a Catholic school. I did go to, for briefly amount of time, I went to what's called CCD. I don't even know what that means, but it's like, I'm just trying to see if I can find it real quick. It's basically like a kind of an hour long, like you'd go in the evening, like after school, and it's kind of like they teach you about Catholicism or whatever. Confraternity of Christian Doctrine. It's basically just like one class separate from school. So like if you don't go to a religious school, you get your learning a little bit. But it was so like not a thing that it was easy to skip. And no one cared if you didn't go. And but yeah, anyways, you didn't have to dress up, and I didn't steal the communion wine, but oh, I bet you it's delicious.
Oh, absolutely. It tastes, because it's got that extra sin spice.
Yeah.
But of course, they drink it before gym class like idiots, so his friend throws up, and I'm like, at least it wasn't AJ this time who threw up on his shoes or whatever. That's good. And we have a quick scene of I mean, we were talking about no side quests here, but we do have Tony showing up at like a building site with Christopher, but that never really pops up again in the episode, right?
Yeah, it's kind of strange. Like they give us a small taste of the mafia because it almost looks like Chris is working. We're like, what's going on? Chris is working on a job site. But yeah, we learn that they're just kind of using the unions to press for, you know, extortion money. Or what have you, Tony kind of comes in. I guess it's just a small reminder because obviously the big theme of this episode is how can Tony discipline his children when he's, you know, doing whatever he wants and being selfish and breaking laws and what have you. So I don't know if that's the main reason, but yeah, it doesn't really come up again.
Yeah, and that scene, we also do a weird kind of cut where the camera swivels to the left at the end. And it cuts into the next scene, and it's so not a Sopranos thing. It's like from some other show. Like, wait, that's like Scrubs or something.
Yeah, because it feels comedic. It's disorienting because you expect it to be a joke or something. Because yeah, he's on the job site, then he's in the principal's office. But again, I assume the idea is we're like trying to impose the idea of how can this guy tell anyone what to do? Now he's basically hearing it about AJ. I do like the point that he brings up where he asks, you know, are these other kids getting this same thing? Because, yeah, we know AJ got into a fight, but like in that previous episode, but nothing else has really told us that he's this big troublemaker.
Yeah, they start talking about how he acts and, you know, potential symptoms and maybe has ADD. And I was kind of starting to think, like, this is very, like, 90s. Like, because having the therapy be, like, a weird thing obviously is central to the show, but it's like they're hitting several stuff here at the same time bringing up maybe he has ADD and we need to do these tests to see how he's doing. And Tony kind of thinks, you know, just give him a good... Give him a good slap, and that'll be that. But yeah, they agree to do the tests. And I have to say, like, there's just scene after scene that's kind of odd because we go to the next one, and it's not a bad really, but we see Uncle Junior and their mother, Tony's mother, the whole family. They're all eating dinner together, and I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah,
this doesn't make any sense. And I think that scene's actually fine. I think it's a good scene. but it adds a level of disorientation.
Yeah, and it is kind of to your point earlier, because we don't have this other story to tell, give us the passage of time, where, you know, they cut to Christopher like arguing with his girlfriend or something. Then you could cut back and, okay, it's later in the day, they're at dinner. It's no, you know, they're at the school, now they're at dinner. And yeah, but it is a fun scene because we get to see Junior and Livia at the dinner table, and they're kind of calling out Tony's past deeds, like stealing a car when he was 10 years old. And it's always fun because it's a nice way to undermine any type of losing the fucking word here. And discipline. Yeah, discipline. Any type of discipline he's trying to impose on his son.
Yeah, and it doesn't go very well. Like, of course, like the Sopranos are all together for dinner, but don't worry, it gets out of hand real quick. At least no one gets shot or anything. Yeah, the kid just kind of runs off because he's grounded and doesn't get to play Mario Kart or anything. But yeah, then we have in the bedroom, and Tony sees flashbacks, like quick little snippets, and he starts connecting the pieces, and he wonders what his son knows and what he's becoming and all that. And then we have a lot of therapy.
Yeah, because it's such a weird, the way the edits are, because Carmilla, we do find out that Carmilla doesn't know that Tony and Meadow kind of had this small bond where he was truthful with her about what he actually does. And to what you're saying, yeah, it is very 90s, but it's kind of true where, talking about ADD, no one knew what that was. Like, now it's such a common, like, oh yeah, take Ritalin, take Adderall, you got ADD. But yes, we kind of had to like catch up the audience at the time, so they're even still discussing it like in bed, like, what is this thing? It's something with the kids. Like, oh, that back in my day, they just told me to pay attention and fly right.
Yeah, but also, I mean, Tony doesn't hit his kids. He got hit.
Yeah.
As a kid, we find out, and he doesn't do that, and I don't think he actually wants to do that, but he, like that's the interesting part of his character, that he kind of clings to this past view of how things should be, because that's how he grew up, but he wants something different for his son as well.
Absolutely. And yeah, I was going to say, with the therapy scenes, it's interesting what a backseat the results of the previous episode take. I mean, they do bring it up because, yeah, he says, I love you. And, you know, she tells him it's just about the therapy. And even Tony talking about it here, he's still kind of clinging to it. Like, I said, I loved you. But he doesn't have the same passion, clearly, behind it.
Yeah. No, I thought I thought just from the way they acted, like, okay, I guess that's over. But he does say, like, just because I know it's a byproduct of therapy doesn't mean it'll go away. And it's almost like they just mention it so they can deal with it properly next episode or something, because this episode's all about his family. That's what it seems like to me anyway. But it's a bit odd because just the way he says it, it feels like, oh, okay, he realized that he wasn't really in love with him or her and just projecting stuff. But I don't know if that's just going to go away or what.
It does lead to a nice moment where he's like trying to make her jealous by bringing up his guma, and you know, she's 24, and then he like point blanks asks her how old she is, which is, you know, obviously it's a weird shot, and he's being very pointed about it, and it's already a faux pas in general to ask a woman that.
Yeah.
So it is a weird moment where he's being very combative with her without being like yelling, storming out guy. It's just this like strange shot that he's throwing at her.
And then we have a scene in the, what's it called? The strip club. They show the sign.
The bing. Bada bing.
Bada bing. I believe the bees have tits on them in the sign.
Yeah.
Real classy place. But they're in there playing pool and talking about, wait, you tell your kids what you do? Or like, we lie through our teeth and all that. And Christopher comes in with some watches again, like, he's having his own storylines. We're just not seeing it, it seems like, because he's got this construction gig, and he's so annoyed because he's been there all day. In another episode, we would have followed that, and, like, he gets frustrated, beats someone up. Now he steals something from FedEx, and they're all like, that's fucking international or some shit, or trans states. That means the feds are involved, you fucking idiot. And in another, you know, episode, he'd go do drugs because he was upset. I don't know.
I mean, I guess thinking about it, though, what's your read on that with Tony? Is Tony just mad because it's another reminder that he's a criminal when he's trying to, you know, not be, at least in the eyes of his kids? Because no one else really seems that concerned that he just stole a box from a FedEx truck or whatever.
I saw it as even more simple. He's just lashing out and he's annoyed. Yeah. And Christopher's obviously his older son, like in spirits. So,
true, very true.
Yeah. Who's already followed him into the business, and he doesn't want his real son to follow him into the business and whatnot. And I think the other, when he's like, what crawled up his hat? Like, no one's like, Christopher, you did something awful here. They're like, yeah, you know, he's got a lot on his mind. Don't worry about it.
and then does this go into the, when he's in the morning, it's 9 a.m. and like the house is, you know, it's alive. It's alive with his family, but he doesn't feel like that because it's just waking him up.
Yeah, yeah. I think, isn't that a bit later or am I mixing it up? I'm not sure, but I know we get a quick glimpse of AJ doing the actual test here.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
He's looking at a picture of a horse, and he has to make some shit up. And I may never have been to a Catholic school and stolen some communion wine or whatever. It's like, you cool kids. Like, you definitely said you did, and we got you on record. But I did look at pictures and had to do this shit, basically, of, like, look at a thing and, like, what's the bear feeling? I'm like, I don't know. It's a drawing. And the thing in that situation as well, I guess AJ is kind of oblivious, but what I felt in that situation was I'm being manipulated. Like I'm being you really want me to project, like, I, even though I was a kid, it's like, it's so obvious what this is supposed to be, and you're gonna take whatever shit I say and analyze it and whatnot. Like, I was Tony Soprano episode one, like, you're gonna do this and you're gonna do that. So it's not a super fun situation to be with. He just kind of talks about South Park, which may also have been what I did in that situation. But he mentions that the number one's on tonight, the one where Cartman gets an anal probe, which is the first episode. I guess it's got to be a rerun or whatever because he's already seen it or knows about it, but it's the first episode. But it's got to be a rerun then, right? This is the important question.
For sure, yeah. It's definitely a rerun. And I think the show is clearly taking the stance that ADD is like bullshit, which I kind of get. I kind of lean towards as well, at least the way it's pitched as far as getting our kids all souped up on pharmaceuticals, because it is just, since, like you said, I think most kids, when you're showing them these cards, they have an understanding that, oh, they're going to read something out of what I'm saying. So you're trying to give them the right answer rather than giving like a natural, this is what I see. So, and then him just talking about South Park, you know, as an Ivy League piece of shit, you're going to be like, he can't even concentrate on the cards. He talks about South Park. Clearly he has ADD.
He's fidgeting.
Yeah.
Tony Soprano fidgets in every therapy session he has in this show. I don't think he has ADD, though. We get a scene with Carmilla and Tony where Carmilla kind of is blaming Tony, or Tony is accusing Carmilla of blaming Tony for what's going on. And it's a very tense scene, and it's all from your side of the family. No, it's from your side of the family, and it's my... I didn't... Like, she hints it's a mistake that she stayed with him, so no, it's really my fault, because I stayed with you. It's like, Jesus, great, great. And he starts bringing out Meadow's better, and what about that, and so on and so forth.
Well, and he brings up that she has an uncle who's Ubats, and I guess that's derived from an Italian expression used to describe someone or thing as nuts, crazy, insane. I assume it's either crazy or maybe he's just a mentally handicapped person, and to Tony, he's Ubats, and he's like, I gotta live with that in my gene pool. really mean stuff. Like it's a bizarre argument either way, but I guess it's kind of natural. If there's something wrong with your kids, maybe you start having a thought like, is it my fault? Is it her fault? Now, are we sure this is before the first flashback?
No, there's been a flashback.
Oh, okay. Right. All right. I just wasn't sure.
That was way earlier. I got a bit turned around, but you're right. Okay. He has the whole thing of waking up and he's in, you know, he's grounded. So he's all upset playing loud music and the music starts playing. And I guess that's also when I started feeling it was a little bit off. That song is so overused by now. Like, true. I don't know about 99, but it's so overused and almost always for a comedic, like, oh, yes, back in the 70s, like, either it's about Vietnam or like, smoking weed or something. That's when you play that for that flashback. But it's played straight here.
Yes, yeah. I mean, and it is kind of on the nose because what it, they say, like, one pill in the lyrics, right? And it's as he's taking his Prozac.
Cool.
So, I mean, I'll give them a little bit of a credit because I do think it wasn't quite as overdone at the time, but it was probably still on its last legs, so I think it's worth pointing out.
We can't blame it on the director because they mention it in the script in therapy. He says the name of the song, so they didn't just edit it in. But still, yeah, so we get the flashback, and as we said, the flashbacks, even though it was a bit weird, it's still really cool to see young Tony, just the neighborhood in general, and Uncle June. You can directly see that it's definitely Uncle June, right?
Yeah, they don't really have to call it out. I think they do, but you get it immediately. And it's, you know, in the first episode or whatever, he does say, like, all those times I played catch with you. And here we are, we're seeing it. So it is a nice, like, I guess, fanboy moment here in season one.
Yes, and it's weird, like, to see his mother all young and not yet yelling about sticking out his eyes with a fork or whatever. Because in this first flashback, I'm like, oh, she seems pretty normal. And then, of course, in the next one, she says, I could stick your eyes out. And Melfi's like, oh, what? She said that? And he's like, well, she'd never do it. Come on.
And that's another thing with Melfi, too, where I don't think a therapist would react that way. Like, given, it's kind of, it's clearly like a big deal and a big turning point in this grown man's life that kind of could explain how they might be the way they are. But as a therapist, you're not supposed to be like, what? They did that? I know they use it kind of as like a comedic buildup before the scene. And even that's a little off-putting because at first, even watching it now, it cuts to her saying she said that and you think they're talking about what she just said. You don't know it's like a build up to what's going to happen. And again, I mean, I don't know if these are nitpicks or not, but it's what makes it feel off to me.
Yes. We get one great scene though, where, AJ goes to see his grandmother.
I'm sorry. I'll just backtrack one more time. I like that. It kind of mirrors when Tony sees his dad chasing that guy down. It mirrors the pilot in a way where, you know, now you got Junior driving the car and then Tony's his dad, obviously chasing another guy down to beat up because he owes them money. I just wanted to call that out because I like how that plays out.
For sure. So AJ goes to see his grandmother we see her all happy for once. So weird. But bragging about her handsome grandson to some lady, and then she says, "Oh yeah, you know, she had a stroke, half her brain's gone." Of course, AJ's like, "Whoa, cool!" And she's like, "Let's play Scrabble," and he's like, "Nah, just need this paired though." And then they have a comedic, drawn out thing of like him saying that his dad goes to therapy, and her saying no, that's impossible, and then gradually starting to believe it. And it's funny because he's so oblivious and she's so like manipulative and stuff, but it's all above his head kind of.
Yes,
and he just wants the pair.
Yeah, well, and it's great too because when we open the scene, she's reading the death notices with a magnifying glass, and it's such a Livia Soprano thing to do that she needs to like read about everyone that died. It's great how happy she is that he is suspended from school and has to come see her. And it feels so real that, you know, it's obviously a big plot point because Tony has been keeping this therapy thing under wraps. And, you know, we've seen he's been having nightmares about people finding out about it. And it does make sense that it's not like they sat AJ down and told them dad goes to therapy, but it's just what adults do. You forget kids are around, and kids pick up way more than you think they do. And he's not picking up the context that it's a big deal. So he would just say it to, it's his grandmother. What's bad about grandma?
Or what's bad about therapy as well. I think that's also maybe why he's fine with doing it.
Yeah.
His dad does it. Well, this is a grown-up nice thing, adult thing I'm doing, maybe.
Well, plus, I mean, psychiatry, it's just a racket for the Jews.
Oh, my God. Oh, Olivia. Every time I start to like you, you make me dislike you, and vice versa. She's got a great line, though, great line. And, of course, she decides, once she starts believing it, she decides, why has he got to do that? Oh, goes to talk about his mother, I bet. Complain, oh, I'm a devil, and starts crying. And AJ's just there eating his pear.
Eating the pear.
Doesn't care.
I guess showing maybe he does have ADD because, yeah, you're right. He's very he's very focused on that pear and not picking up what's going on. Interesting part about it is, yeah, she's being melodramatic. But everything we see in this episode, he kind of is just talking about what his mother did for the most part. So yes. She's also right.
Which is so weird because I would have assumed they would do it the other way where, I mean, he is always there talking about what a saint she is. And like, he feels bad. Like, the reason he feels anxiety is he feels bad for not, like, cherishing her and being able to stand and everything. And Melfi's the one pushing him to admit his negative feelings towards his mother. And he does that here. But it's, I mean, I'm jumping ahead, but he's also, he also goes to her and, like, talks smack to her.
Yes.
Which I guess is cathartic or however, you, like, is something. But it's also weird timing because she just decided that. And she's also towards the end of the episode, it almost seems, is her allegiance shifting from Uncle Junior? Because she's saying how he's all full of himself while Tony's coming to eat dinner even. Like, maybe Tony's the one in favor right now. Because last episode it was all like, maybe you should squeeze that Jew who's a friend of Tony's.
Yeah.
And now it's all, I can't stand that man. And I believe her when she says it. It's not just that she talks shit about anyone behind their back, because she'll talk shit to people's faces too, you know, so you can trust her when she says she doesn't like someone, because she doesn't like anyone, but it shifts up and down, I think.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And it is interesting, like, this, we have seen some moments where she shows, like, self-awareness, especially in regards to mafia stuff, but here she directly says, like, it's gone to his head ever since he became, like, capo something. Like, I forget what she fully says, but she specifically, like, references the mafia, like, out right in plain daylight. So it that felt a little off to me as well.
Yes. There's a bunch of small scenes, or maybe that's an overstatement, but he does change attire with his son. Which is, I connect, there's a visual connection point, because then he's later in the trunk of the car with a spare tire in the past, which was kind of nice. This is where he talks to his son about the business and so forth. And actually, like, basically, you know, I mean, he doesn't say outright, we're doing crime, son, we're criming it up. But he does say, you know, Uncle Jackie was a complicated man, and he sees that his son has put stuff together as far as there are a lot of people with cameras at the funeral and all that stuff.
Yeah, and it's interesting that he doesn't rat out Meadow. Like, he's already ready for the mob. Because you know, he's like, where'd you hear this or whatever? And, I mean, he's not technically lying. He did kind of hear some stuff from some kids at school, but as we know, he got the clarity from Meadow. He's just like, I heard it from some kids at school. And then Tony ends up being a little bit more focused on, like, am I on that website? And they're like, no. And he's kind of, like, proud in a way. Like, the plan's working. Like, no one knows about me. Good old Tony Soprano.
Yes. So then we get more therapy and more flashbacks, and like going over it in broad strokes, he sees his dad taking his sister to some cool secret place, and he's so jealous, and that's why he annoys his mother to the point of her wanting to stick his eyes out and all that. And he devises a plan where he hides in the trunk and goes to see the carnival place where they're hanging out. And it's almost like it's a relief when he finds out that it was all a racket, because then it was like, oh, at least I wasn't, like, neglected because they all brought their daughters or whatever. Like, because it does feel when he's coming there that it's like, well, you could have easily brought another kid. But then when he figures out, no, it's a mob thing, it's like, oh, okay. Whew. I mean, yeah, he's doing crimes, but he's at least not playing favorites.
Yeah, he gets that sense of relief that, yeah, it's not that he loves her more. It's just that she's the better cover for crime. And I love the detail that young Tony wants an electric organ. It's such a weird thing, and it's kind of like, to me anyways, it says a lot about, like, young Tony was this sensitive artist that if only had that nurturing, you know, maybe he'd be in an orchestra or something.
Yeah, and he's a little sweet cheeks, too. I mean, that guy, I don't know who that kid actor is, but I feel like he grew up to be a photo model or something, and not sure if he's actually matching what... he's not the same as Uncle Junior, you know, where their face is exactly the same is what I'm saying.
For sure, yeah.
But he's very likable, and yeah, I also like that detail, because they're all talking about, how did I end up here, you know? And we see that he maybe would have ended up somewhere else. And so he also, in a flashback, hears about this plan to go to Reno, right?
Yes, yeah. I do want to call out real quick before we do that. We do. This is our introduction to young Janice as well, his sister. And we do learn that she's like a hippie in California, or as he calls her, a wannabe dothead. Because she's changed her name to like Xanadu or something like that. So,
right. Yes.
Then we hear Rocco, I believe is who it was, the guy who Tony's dad beat up, Johnny Boy Soprano beat up earlier in the episode. Rocco has a plan to go to Reno and I guess start up some sort of casino or something like that. Basically, like Johnny Boy runs numbers, which is like illegal gambling. But it's like, hey, why don't we go to Reno? We can kind of do what we do here and maybe build a legitimate business. And we see that Johnny Boy is kind of ready to do it as well. But, you know, Livia Soprano's crushing his dreams, saying it's just nothing but, like, you know, garbage people out there or what have you.
Yeah, he's going to go set up a book, like he's going to be a bookie. But I thought that was also illegal, right? Or maybe it's fine if it's in Reno.
I think that it's technically still illegal, but yeah, maybe the idea would be they would do it illegally, build up some money, and then build a legit business out of it. So it's not like completely I'm a good guy, but maybe there's a path to being a good person. And especially like, I assume it extends to Reno as well, but I mean, if you've seen the movie Casino, like, in the 70s, it was all like mob people making big money in Vegas. So he could have been part of something big.
Yeah. And what's a supper club? Because he wanted to start a supper club. I found
honestly
the Wikipedia.
Don't know. Yeah. What is a supper club?
Well, it's a traditional dining establishment. This functions as a social club. But then it also says a new usage has emerged referring to underground restaurants. So it seems either top tier or lower tier. But either way, that would at least be legitimate, you know? It's a path towards being legitimate. That's how Tony pitches it later to his mother. He had a chance to get out of this mess, and you had to pull him back in.
And I do love when we see the flashback when Johnny Boy gets out of jail, because clearly he's got connections and there's corruption in the police force. And the mother's like, Olivia's like, no, they just don't like Italians. Like, why'd they arrest dad? Oh, they just don't like Italians. And there's like, there's some small parallels there, obviously, because we're seeing that there's, black neighborhoods are being like squashed by the police on the news. And we have, you know, Johnny Boy kind of holding it down with no real consequences.
I mean, yeah. And he's saying, don't, or she's saying earlier, don't miss the bus. You'll have to go through the colored neighborhood. Yeah. And he does get chased by some black kids, although they were right. He should have picked up that rapper. I mean, they weren't trying to rob him or nothing.
Well, is she even has that great line where she's not concerned, like he's about to go. He's about to just go out into the world, and she's watching like riots kind of close to the neighborhood. And she's like, bring a bat. Look what's happening on the TV.
Yeah. Where she says, like, bring a bat. That's what they're doing down on that street. Yeah. Like, they may as well join the chaos. But then we get the evaluation of AJ, where Tony gets to say that, you know, he's a 13-year-old boy. He gets a hard on every 10 minutes or whatever. Of course, he's not concentrated. Of course, he fidgets. Who doesn't fidget at school? He says a lot of stuff, and I like what he says, and I like that Carmilla likes what he says and says, you know, for like, because he's being rude, but then before leaving, she just notes, yeah, for the record, I think he's right. And also, I don't think we need to pay for this. Bye.
Yeah, see ya. See ya. Well, because it sounds so absurd. At least, I mean, I don't know the specifics on medically diagnosing ADD, but at least for the time, if this is any type of real researched thing, when they're listing off, you need 6 of the 9, you know, signs or whatever, and yeah, one of them is fidgeting. You're like, what? Are you serious? What are you talking about?
Yes,
is this where we're going?
Yeah. So that leads into, I mean, Tony's done his big thing, and he tells his son, yep, nope, get used to it. It's going to be, you know, a hard life living from now. You did a bad thing. You're taking your punishment. But then they also make ice cream together. Yeah. I mean, it's good. A lot of this stuff, or all of it, I guess, works on paper. It's just so strange and different from what we've grown to, you know, expect.
Yeah, I agree. Just the way, yeah, the way it ends up being portrayed or some of the choices made just come off, yeah, just a bit off. I do like, to back up a little bit, when Tony, yeah, somewhat out of character, when he kind of does go and confront his mom about the, you know, potential change they could have had in their family, when he says, you know, if you were born after those feminists, you would have been the boss or whatever. So like, she's just a little bit too early. I do like that line, but yeah. And I like how it comes back to, I do like how AJ says I'm depressed, because it comes off as like a silly thing. Like, what are you depressed about? Are you serious? And like, the show obviously is dealing a lot with depression and therapy and how it affects people. And it's comical the way he says it, but then it's like you do see that there could be a clear path where he's just going to grow up and be depressed like his father. But we do get this nice moment where they, you know, have Sundays together and the white rabbit kicks in. But any of the toppings, yeah, we sprinkles, M&Ms, we're getting them all, baby.
Nuts. About when he confronts his mother, I mean, I'm always against Olivia. But here, this is so kind of out of the blue that it's almost hard to be on Tony's side, because he does hit it kind of hard. Or what did you think?
Yeah, I think I agree with that, because, I mean, she is being Olivia Soprano. I do think she remembers, but yeah, she would never admit that she was wrong about something, obviously. He does hit it hard, but I guess I kind of get it, because it's all about, like, this whole episode is kind of about potential, and, you know, he has these arguments about, whether it be with Carmilla, about their genes and what they've passed on to their children, and he has the argument with Melfi about, you know, how come I'm not a, I forget what he says, but, like, how come I'm not in, like, the Philippines building buildings or whatever he says. You're born into this shit. And now that he's remembering it, this could have been a real moment to change the Soprano name. But still, what we know about his relationship with his mother, I still don't buy he would come at her the way he does.
Yeah. And at least, I mean, at least he goes in afterwards. Like, they have dinner. Like, he knows it's going to be awkward and tense anyway, because it's his mother. So I guess it's good that he gets some of that out of his system first. So that does conclude our recap of episode 7, my least favorite episode of The Sopranos so far. I mean, I look forward to watching another episode. And I know I sound negative, but it's just so weird because it's so different. I know I'm just repeating myself. I'm a broken record over here. But it is not what I expected. And I thought through half the episode, I was like, what's wrong with me today? Why can't I concentrate on The Sopranos? Do I have ADD? Like, why can't I? Usually I'm just sitting down and watching it and loving it. And now I was like, how much is left of this episode? And then after a while, I was like, whoa, this is a flashback? That's when I was like, what's going on over here? Hey, where's the Gumas? What's happening here? And I also did notice, like you said, Melfi's acting kind of weird. And there's a lot of therapy and things. There are some good moments, though, like his speech to the therapist at the end. And actually, I mean, the flashbacks themselves are really cool to see. They did it really well as far as the content of them and everything. So, yeah, that's my final take, I guess.
Yeah, I don't think you're wrong, though. I don't think you're wrong to have some qualms with this episode. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, hey, sometimes when they go a little bit off, we're going to have to call it out. And this might not be the last off episode we see. Or maybe it is. Maybe they were perfection from here on out. You'll have to tune in to find out, because that's right. This is Cut to Black. You can also find some more discussion on TV at showswhatyouknow.com. And you can also find more of Jacob Burrows at awesomepedia.org. And you can find more of me at jimandthem.com.
Yes, and if you are listening live, we are about to discuss the TV show The Inbetweeners, a very different show. And that will be coming up live on the YouTube, youtube.com/showswhatyouknow. And if you're listening on the podcast, please do check it out on the Shows What You Know feed, where we discuss all manner of TV shows, where you can also leave a review and suggest a show for us to watch. Thank you all for listening. And until next time, I just have one more thing, Jim.
Oh, what's that?
Cut to Black.